This is professional wrestling legend Downtown Bruno, who is privileged enough to be on the Oversell podcast.
It is episode 86, and we're talking about WWE Fastlane. Get ready. This is the Oversell podcast. You know what? Let's just start the fucking show. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Oversell Podcast. My name is Derek.
I am Mike.
I am Dan.
And we're here to talk some bullshit pay-per-view that was this past weekend. WWE Fastlane, you can go kiss my fucking ass, WWE. This seriously, WCW Sin called and said, man, that was a bad pay-per-view. I mean, yep. that seriously was one of the worst put together pay-per-views I have ever watched with the WWE. I mean, I get some of the decisions that were made, but their thought had to be, hey, let's just fuck this whole show up from top to bottom. Barring one match from this pay-per-view, it was one of the shittiest pay-per-views they put on.
I agree. That Jinder Mahal match was amazing.
No. I don't even want to fucking joke. I mean, Neville and Gallagher are awesome. They had an awesome match. But
that was match of the night.
Everything else was
Neville
shit.
Neville and Gallagher were match of the night, unbelievably.
I mean, you had that filler crap with Rusev and Jinder Mahal. That was just... It was just trying to fill 3 hours of content.
By the second match of that little excursion or whatever you want to call it into whatever storyline was happening there, by that second match, it felt like an episode of Monday Night Raw.
Yes, it did. It was drawn out.
A very bad episode of Monday Night Raw.
Well, you know what? I will give the WWE credit. Every once in a while, they do pull out. But it's just, you know, if you're having trouble fill in that much time on a pay-per-view, make your pay-per-view 2 hours. Who says all these pay-per-views have to be 3 hours?
Yeah.
Especially with the small roster like you have on Raw. Let's just go through the card. Let's just go through this whole fucking card.
All right.
Fuck the pre-show, because that
I didn't watch much of it either. Anyway.
That was just about just amount as dumb as the rest of the fucking pay-per-view.
All right. Samoa Joe defeated Sami Zayn.
All right match. I mean,
it was a good match.
It was a good match, but I expect so much more from guys like Samoa Joe and Sami Zayn.
I do too, and Zayn did not get in a whole lot,
right?
At all, really. You know, it was all Joe for a good portion of the match,
right?
It was 90% Joe, really.
And it was built to get him over as a badass, which, you know, I guess that's Sami Zayn's role right now.
Just get destroyed by everybody.
Yeah, I mean, we got this new guy that we need to get some heat on. Let's put him, hey, Braun Strowman, go beat the shit out of Sami Zayn for 45 minutes. Or Samoa Joe, give me 20 of an ass whooping on Sami Zayn. Okay, sure. I'm sure Sami Zayn loves it.
Yeah.
So that was an all right match.
He still gets paid.
Yeah, that's right. That was an all right match. It did what it was supposed to do. Start off the show all right, I guess, but that's really all I can say about it.
I mean, I know they didn't really want to hurt Zayn, but I think the match should have been shorter.
Yeah.
I mean, it should have been just... I mean, it was Joe dominating the entire time, but it could have been a lot shorter and just got the point across the same.
But then they would have had to have filled more time with stupid shit on this show.
They didn't... Okay.
Next match.
Raw Tag Team Championship. Gallows and Anderson defeated Enzo and Cass.
I mean, yeah. That's all I can say. Yeah.
It was okay. Wasn't anything wrong with the match, but it also wasn't anything spectacular that, you know, we're going to sit here and talk 10 minutes about.
It was a episode of Raw quality match.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not getting the big treatment on these shows. And I'm actually going to call this an F show, not a B show or anything like that. Not the A. It was an F show because...
For favorite?
No. Have nothing. There's nothing. Like I said, you know, hey, you know what? December to Dismember called. They said, man, that was a rough show. Mike, your thoughts?
like I said, it wasn't a bad match, but it wasn't anything special. I mean, it was just a match. I mean, maybe, I don't know, maybe they're just, you know, at the point now where they're just wanting to protect everybody before WrestleMania.
I think that's it.
Well, then, I have a simpler solution to that. Don't put on the fucking show.
Yeah, I understand.
Dan, any more thoughts on the match, tag match?
On the tag match, no. It was just, the tag match was strictly a Raw, an episode of Monday Night Raw quality match. There was nothing spectacular about it. There was nothing that stood out about it. You know, I noticed all through the night that the commentators were really trying to get the matches over, you know, and make them more than what they were, and they did a good job of it, but at the same time, the matches just didn't deliver.
Yep.
And this was one of those times, you know, I heard the commentators constantly saying, you know, Enzo and Cass, they've talked about it. They have to have those titles to cement their legacy and know that they've made it the big time and everything, you know, and they were constantly saying stuff like that, which was good. It got me involved. It made me think, well, you know, what's going to happen during the match? But then at the same time, nothing happened during the match. Right. It was just, you know.
Shin Solid has said it best in our chat room, which you can join at mixlr.com/oversellpodcast. F for fucking bullshit. Next match.
Sasha Banks defeated Nia Jax.
Okay.
I was shocked by this one.
I was shocked by that one, too.
You know, Chris Hero, Cassius Ohno, whatever you want to call him these days, said a match could end at any time. I get that. But, I mean, did Sasha need this win to look credible for WrestleMania? Is that the only reason she got it?
What I've heard and read is that she botched the ending. She was, when she bridged back, she was supposed to hold on the ropes, you know, to kind of tease more of a heel turn, and that's how she beat her. But she was positioned wrong and couldn't reach the rope. Oh. That's why she was just like, oh, okay, fuck it, I'll just bridge.
Okay.
But, you know, it would have had, you know, outcome would have been the same, but, you know, we would have viewed it differently if she was able to grab the ropes. Because it would be like, oh, okay, she kind of cheated to win.
That would change the complexity of everything just a little bit, so. It was an all right match. You know, it seemed, was it kind of quick?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, let's see.
And it was, you know, like I said, I was kind of shocked that she won, but now seeing or reading what
potentially should
have happened.
If that was the botch, then yeah, that's a big screw up. Next.
Or did Dan have anything to say
on
that one?
Oh, sorry. My bad.
It was, you know, again, a Raw quality match. You know, nothing spectacular out of this one. I really honestly don't look for anything spectacular in a Nia Jax match anymore. You know?
But would you say that to her face?
No.
Did you see Lawler kind of got a little heat on him this past week for something he said on the Raw post show?
I didn't see it.
He said, let me see if I can find the quote, which I get what he was trying to say, but it really didn't.
Who got heat?
Lawler.
Oh.
He doesn't really have much of a job with him anyway, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to get heat when you're on the camera for 20 seconds or so. Let's see. Here's the clip. Let me see if I can find it on my iPad here, but, you know.
You just mean, I mean, the size discrepancy alone.
I mean, she is not really. She's really not like most girls. I mean, she is the biggest girl we have on this women's division, and
she got hit by a car once, and it took 3 surgeons to remove it.
Wow, that's great.
She's big. I'm telling you, she's big.
But no, I had my game plan. I knew what I was up against.
So I think I get what the point he was trying to make there, but in that case, I think it's better for him just to not say anything at all.
If it would have been about Mark Henry, there wouldn't have been any controversy. But because, you know, it was a female.
And that wouldn't surprise me if someone kind of said, hey, Lawler, kind of make a joke about her. You know, because she's the only woman on the roster that they're talking about her weight.
Right.
Which I don't think it should be I don't think her weight should be a part of it anyway. Just go out there and make her look her monster and tell her, damn, this woman is destructive and right. everything like that. Her weight or anything like that should not be involved in it at all anyway. Next match, Mike.
Cesaro defeated Jinder Mahal.
Who gives a flying fuck?
It wasn't a bad match.
I mean,
yeah, it was pointless filler.
It was just so bad, and you knew what they were trying to do. You knew what this was going to all lead to, the whole pay-per-view show.
Yeah. I mean, we knew that before they did filler matches. I mean, and we knew how that was going to end. Mm. You didn't want to admit it, but you knew it was going to end that way.
Mm. Okay, whatever. Whatever.
But, I mean, the match was okay. It wasn't bad. It was a Cesaro match. You couldn't complain.
Look at the first... On the pre-show, I know we weren't going to talk about it. The match time was 9 minutes, 25 seconds. Joe and Zayn were 9 minutes, 45 seconds. Tag match was 8 minutes, 40 seconds. Nia Jax and Sasha Banks, 8 minutes, 15 seconds. Cesaro and Jinder Mahal was 8 minutes and 20 seconds. And I mean, you can't throw in a 1:15. You can't make your tag match there 15 minutes. You can't make your... I don't know. To me, the Samoa Joe Sami Zayn match could have been knocked down to about 5 minutes.
Yeah. I think it should have been shorter.
Yeah, let him go in there, go beat his ass, choke him out, and get out of there.
Yeah. Knock him down, act like you're going to pin him, pull him up, beat his ass a little bit more.
Yeah. You know, that's an old heel tactic that's just not used anymore these days. Nia Jax did it when she was doing her beat up on Jobber
right.
once, grabbing someone by the hair and let him up, and then having some more fun. Dan, did you ever get to do that when you were wrestling?
What?
The heel move of, like, when you have a guy, you know he's beaten, but you lift his shoulders off on the mat just so you can beat him up a little bit more.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've done it.
Why don't more heels do that?
The art of getting heat is a lost art, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Some guys are naturals at it, and some guys, you know.
Braun Strowman should be doing that about every match. Every match that's not Roman Reigns, which...
I mean, I would say, you know, you can't do it too much or it loses its luster or whatever, but...
Well, the point with Braun Strowman is that he can... He's like a Goldberg, you know, to a certain extent, you know. A power slam from Roman Reigns doesn't hurt so much, but a power slam from Braun Strowman will kill you. You know?
Yep.
That's what they're trying to get over, you know.
Yep. Next match.
Big Show defeated Rusev.
Who gives a flying fuck? The best thing about this match was Rusev's new haircut. That's the best thing that was about this match. And it sucks that Rusev has to be a sacrificial lamb to the Big Show for some fucking reason.
There's rumors that he has heat on him right now.
Who, Rusev?
Yeah.
Because he got a haircut?
That's one of them. Yeah.
Really?
He got a haircut without talking to Vince about it.
Yeah. Oh, cry me a fucking river. Jesus Christ. If that's true, that's stupid.
Well, yeah, but... that's just in the rumor mill right now.
Oh, my God. Oh, he got a haircut. Oh, I don't like it.
I mean, I wonder if Big Show talked to Vince about losing weight.
Yeah, you know, exactly. Or, you know, I got nothing. I can't really think of anything else. Maybe, what if Sasha said, I'm not wearing hair extensions tonight, you know? I'm sure Ben, no, women got to have long hair so you can grab it. Whatever. This match, I did like the spot where Rusev was laying down on the ground and Big Show just hauled off and gave him one good knockout punch.
Oh, when he had him in the corner?
When he was just slouched in the corner and Big Show just gave him one haymaker.
I mean, he pretty much destroyed him. And let's not forget that Rusev destroyed Big Show when he first came to the roster. You know, they were doing that, you know, American Challenge and everything.
Yeah.
You know, and Big Show was the one that ripped down the Russian flag and everything. And, you know, they went to pay-per-view with it, and Rusev ended up beating Big Show, you know, making him submit with that camel clutch. So, I mean, this is like turnabout is fair play times 10, you know?
The Big Show's in much better shape now, though.
Yep.
Yeah. Big Show's lost an entire Big Show of weight.
Exactly, so. Yeah.
Next match.
Cruiserweight Championship. Neville defeated Gentleman Jack Gallagher.
Match of the night.
It was a
match
great match.
Of the night.
Match of the night. It was, you know, you got to see so much of this match. And one thing I like that they're doing with Gallagher is he's a cruiserweight, but he's not a flyer. So when he actually does some sort of flying move, it adds a lot more, what's the word? It makes it a lot more special when he actually does right. go through the air. When he flew through the ropes and landed, I loved it. I loved it.
Yeah, it adds flair to the match when somebody who doesn't normally fly flies.
Yep, and we Neville had to pull out the red arrow to get the win on Jack Gallagher, which makes it even more special.
Which is still the prettiest.
And he hit
move
it so
in.
Hard, he did a front somersault after he hit it.
Yeah.
But
so
yeah.
that was match of the night, definitely. And
yes,
I gotta say Gallagher actually surprised me. I mean, it just, and the crowd surprised me too, because they got into the cruiserweight matches.
Yeah, they were
this
into the match.
This was an odd crowd at a pay per view. They actually got into the cruiserweight matches.
Well, you know, there's a lot of it was an hour and a half away from Chicago, so you know some of those fans.
Oh yeah,
some of those Chicago fans came down, so they're going to appreciate something good now.
I mean, even watching Raw the next night, you saw some of the same fans that were in the crowd at the pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Hey, well, you always see those guys, too, like that douchebag.
And that was
Brock
one
Lesnar
hell of
or
a German suplex that Gallagher took. He got dumped on his head.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think he took the ropes face first or something after Neville ducked a clothesline. Gallagher took the ropes face first and then went right back into Neville, who Germaned the shit out of him.
Is it just me or do those – I love seeing those draping German suplexes where the guy's just hanging there and then all of a sudden it's just one hard snap and they're on their back of their head. I love.
Then the Gallagher headbutts.
I love it.
Gallagher throws some of the best headbutts. Yeah, match of the night, easily. I loved it. I had a lot of fun with it. What was the next match?
Roman Reigns defeated Braun Strowman.
This is where a lot of the shit, the main problem with this pay-per-view did. You have Roman Reigns losing to Braun Strowman because I guess they want him to look strong for The Undertaker, which I don't think he needs that win. And this was Braun's first singles loss, right? He was undefeated. So you just sacrificed your monster, who's been undefeated since the brand split, at Fastlane. And I said the pay-per-view name right this time.
Yes, you did.
But at Fastlane, you have Braun Strowman losing an undefeated streak. That is something that you build up, you build up, you build up, and finally a face just gets an out-of-nowhere win at a huge show. It needs to be a moment for Braun Strowman to lose.
I agree.
I would have even gone with Undertaker interfering to cost Roman.
See, that's what I was. That's what I called
happening.
Undertaker,
a clean win over Braun Strowman. Come on.
Yep, and it was actually the longest match
and
of the night.
What the fuck was on Roman's feet?
I don't even want to talk about his magic shoes or whatever the fuck that joke.
You know, it's those Roman Reigns Air Force Ones. Get them now. They make you look strong.
Hey, get them two pair. I need two pair because I need to get a stop it in my Air Force Ones. So, yeah, you know, that just a huge clusterfuck of a show. I would have even accepted like a double count out. You know, they just start fighting all over the arena
right,
or something like that. But don't put Reigns over clean just so you can kind of make him look like a credible threat to The Undertaker at WrestleMania. And next match.
Would I have preferred a different finish to it? Yes. But other than that, I didn't have a problem with the match
at all.
It was
an all right match.
I thought it was a great match. You know,
but a good match is only, as good as his finish.
I enjoyed the match. Hated the finish.
Yeah. But was it not terrifying seeing Strowman fly off the top rope?
Yeah, granted,
holy
that's
hell.
Granted, you know, he did something he hadn't done, and that's what cost him. I get that, but
yeah.
But
I mean, it took a lot to beat him.
Yeah.
I mean, at least they sold that. I mean, he went through a few Superman punches, spears, and then it took, you know, the whole flying off the top rope, missing, and then, you know, another finisher.
Yeah, I get that. I just don't think it's the right time to have Braun beaten.
Right. I mean, all it was the wrong time
to kill the momentum.
Yep.
Yeah.
Next match.
Raw Women's Championship. Bayley defeated Charlotte.
Fuck this match. I love Bayley.
Oh, you didn't like this match?
No. I love Bayley and I love Charlotte. This was some of their worst work, I think, since they've been on the main roster. Bayley tried that springboard something.
Oh, yeah, that
and completely
was
missed.
Yeah.
So here's my biggest problem with the match. It's not labeled a no DQ match. It's not labeled anything like that. Sasha comes out there and starts whipping Charlotte's ass, like attacking her. And the ref's just like, hey, you got to get out of here. Where's it?
Well, she didn't really attack her. I mean, the whole thing is she ran out there to interfere. Charlotte jumped her, but, you know, there was no offense from Sasha, so it wasn't a disqualification.
Are you sure? Yeah. I thought Sasha got a hit on
it. It was still screwed up.
Yeah.
It was just
stupid. It looked,
you know,
bad.
It looked like she threw a punch at her to start with, you know?
Right.
But, you know, it was obvious that Charlotte was supposed to get the upper hand out of the exchange when the ref didn't call for the punch.
Right.
So not only do you have that shit going on, but then you have Charlotte, who the past 4 to 6 months has labeled herself the queen of pay-per-views. She does... You're going to have her fucking lose her pay-per-view winning streak at Fastlane.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It just doesn't make a goddamn bit of sense.
The problem with all of this that's going on now with this feud is the fact that the title in this feud is not the prominent feature. It's still about Sasha Banks.
Need to go into our chat room. Shin said something about going back to Lana Rusev. WWE is known for doing dumb stuff backstage. Vince tried to break Rusev and Lana up because he thought Lana was too hot for him.
Yeah.
I remember that story.
I remember
too.
That.
Yeah. Whatever. That's just...
But yeah, I mean, the women's championship feud right now is all about Sasha Banks, and she's not even technically a part of the feud.
Right.
And
now...
That's what's taken away from this match.
So, yeah, that's just...
And I mean, I love Sasha and everything about it. It's just they're putting the focus on the wrong fight right now.
Yep. And to top it all off, then after that... You have, it's a combination of everything that pissed me off about this pay-per-view. It's not just that Goldberg beat Kevin Owens in 21 seconds, which was stupid as it is. It's not just that Charlotte lost her pay-per-view streak. It's not just that Braun Strowman lost an undefeated streak. It's that you did all of these fucking things on the same fucking night.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems like they had no idea what they wanted to do with this pay-per-view, and they didn't want to put Goldberg through a long match because they didn't want him to get hurt for WrestleMania, and it...
Well, no, that would... I don't think that was the reason.
No,
why
that's one of the that is one of the reasons that they didn't want to risk Goldberg getting hurt before WrestleMania on this match, and you know.
No.
That's just a report I read.
A minute 30 beating Brock Lesnar, okay? A minute 30 to beat Brock Lesnar. Any other man needs to be shorter than that.
That's my argument, too. Well, I mean, I did read the same thing about how they are wanting to protect Goldberg right now going into WrestleMania. But it's like I said last week when we were doing the predictions. I mean, you can't have Kevin Owens win or last longer than Brock Lesnar because then that says he's bigger than Brock Lesnar. And in their minds, they can't do that, regardless of who holds the championship at the time.
But in the same light, it makes... Goldberg, I think, look weak. Why? Because it took Chris Jericho. It wasn't on Brock that he beat him in 21 seconds. It took a distraction from Chris Jericho for him to beat Kevin Owens so quickly.
Somewhat. Because,
so,
I mean,
no,
the match...
Not somewhat. That's what it took.
Well, no, the match hadn't even started until Jericho showed up.
Well, he needed Chris Jericho. It makes him look weak for him needing a distraction from Chris Jericho to beat Kevin Owens. And I've seen a lot of GIFs. Kevin Owens was not happy with what he was having to do with this show. He was not happy whatsoever. And I wouldn't have been either. You've worked your ass off day in, day out. You know, you've been hurt, sick. You know, you miss your kids, your wife, your family, and he's out on the road. What, Dan, how often would a guy like Kevin Owens be on the road? A week?
He's been on he's in a week, about five, six days a week.
Five, 6 days a week, doing live events. Doing Raw, doing the pay-per-views when they come up, and this fucking part-timer. And I don't want to hear the money word draw or anything like that. He's a fucking part-timer, comes in and beats him in 21 seconds. I would have been pissed, too. Kevin Owens, in my opinion, deserved the right to walk into WrestleMania holding the WWE Universal Championship. Brock and Goldberg does not need to be for the title. was
I'll agree with you there.
With
it
Triple H,
it doesn't need to be.
It doesn't need to be.
With Triple H and Undertaker, did there need to be a title? No. Those two guys, it was just a larger than life event. That's what they needed to do. Kevin Owens earned the right with how, you know, going to all these events, going across. I mean, we're not just talking traveling across the country. We're talking about traveling all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, dealing with jet lag, travel, people at airports, which is a whole nother fucking topic that pisses me off because Seth Rollins called some people out on that bullshit, which I thought was fucking hilarious. Right. But it just when you add all that up and you're doing it because a part-timer can have the title going into Mania just so he can lose it again to Brock because Brock's going to come out of the champion as a champion, right?
Yeah.
It just – that decision to me I think is a horrible fucking decision on behalf of WWE.
They put out the fan survey. I forgot what it's called. I forgot what the survey is called, but it's, you know, it's the what did you think of this pay-per-view, you know? And, you know, I kind of raked them over the coals. I don't think they would have liked my survey when I turned it in. But one of the questions, one of the follow-up questions at the end of the survey asked me, would I be watching WrestleMania and who did I think was going to walk out with the title at WrestleMania? And I put Brock Lesnar, and I had to think about that, and I was like, man, they're gauging what people expect, you know? Maybe they're going to do the unexpected. You never know. Maybe they, you know, let Goldberg go through and retire with the title when he comes out the other side, you know?
Whatever. Don't
fucking
care. Just
vacate it afterwards, yeah.
I'm just...
Exactly.
It's just, you know, we saw this match, and we saw this match years ago. What was it, WrestleMania?
20.
We saw this match. It was shit. It's going to be the shits again. Brock Lesnar is destructive. He's a shitty worker. And he's working with another shitty worker in Goldberg. And you know, I'm not a professional wrestler. I never have been. I never will be. But go back and watch a Goldberg match now that you've grown up. He was not. The matches were not that good.
No. But it was just.
It was hype. He was all hype. And I get that. He was a product of great marketing.
But I mean, honestly, I've always had that
same
opinion.
I'll tell you the biggest abomination I ever saw. Was and it was absolutely horrible. It was horrifying, and you know that face that the people made when the girl got a hold of him in the ring, you know, it was that horrifying face I made after watching this match, and it was Goldberg versus Mongo McMichaels in a tables match.
Oh my God!
On pay-per-view.
Yeah. You know this.
And this match was longer than any Goldberg match I have ever seen. And from top to bottom, it was terrible because Mongo, when he bumped, he'd stay down for 5 seconds and he'd get right back up again. And so he was. I don't know if it was like something personal that Mongo just did not want to bump for Goldberg and stay down or what, but every time he got hit with something, he'd stay down for about a 5 count and he'd get right back up again. Like nothing hit him. And so that made the match just kind of drag along. And this match went on for like 20 to 25 minutes, you know, and it was just constantly Goldberg hitting Mongo McMichael with something and him just getting right back up again. And then Mongo would hit Goldberg with something and Goldberg would get right back up again. You know, it's just them basically hitting each other with moves and seeing what would stick, you know.
Mm-hmm. Remember when Goldberg got completely shown up by Regal? Well, I mean, they just proved him that, you know, okay, yeah, he really can't wrestle.
So,
but going back to what you were talking about, you know, him not really being, you know, ever having really good matches and just being, you know, hype and just popular.
Right.
I always had the same view about Hogan. Hogan never really had just spectacular matches. It was just his showmanship and,
in the
80s, who he was with.
In the 80s, when Hulkamania was at its high, he actually could put on some good matches.
Well, I'll tell you something that will shock you and amaze you, is to look up his work in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
When the bell rings in Japan, Hulk Hogan can wrestle. And it's amazing.
Yep.
I mean, you got to look up some of his Japan stuff and see it to believe it. Because, I mean, it's not all the hype in Japan.
Right.
Either, You can either wrestle in Japan or you can't, and that's it.
So that is Fastlane. I'm glad you brought up Japan because I want to talk a little bit about the New Japan 45th anniversary show. This was a now I went from watching WWE Fastlane to being pissed off to coming to New Japan Pro Wrestling and was like, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Thank
Can
you
dig it? But, you know, it was a great show. A lot of fun. The opening match was a young lion taking on an older guy. I'm still learning a lot of these names. But next match after that, you got Chaos, which was Gedo, Goto, Jado, and Yoshihashi defeating Suzuki Gunn, which Davey Boy Smith Jr. is in New Japan Pro Wrestling now.
Really?
Yeah, he's part of Suzuki Gunn. They're a heel stable over there. El Desperado, Minoru Suzuki, and Taka Michinoku, who's also in Suzuki Gunn.
All right.
So that was a fun match. The Bullet Club, which was Bad Luck Fale, Kenny Omega, Tama Tonga, and Tangaloa, and Yujiro Takahashi. I like Takahashi.
Takahashi, yeah.
Him and those Japanese stripper girlfriends or whatever he brings on shows is always great. They defeated David Finlay, Jushin Thunder Liger, Tiger Mask, Togi Makabe, and Yuji Nagata. Hanma got hurt recently.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah, I mean, they said he's starting to move limbs around. He took like a botched DDT or something like that, and, you know, he couldn't move, and they had to get him out. And next, you had Suzuki Gunn, Taichi, who Taichi, I guess, is this masked opera singer that comes out. And he has, like, this cane with a mic attached to the end of it. And, like, when you look at the mic, you can see where the cable is supposed to be plugged into, and it's not plugged in, but he's acting like he's singing opera all the way down. It's like, you got to do a little bit better than that. But him and Yoshinobu Kanemaru defeated Roppongi Vice to win the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship, which, to beat them,
yeah,
you know, that's a big deal. I love Roppongi Vice. They actually have a triple threat tag team title match for the ROH tag team titles. You know who the ROH tag team champions are now, don't you?
The Hardys now, isn't it?
Wonderful! Yeah! Oh, yes! They surprised. They showed up and beat the Young Bucks for the
Bucks of Youth.
The Bucks of Youth for that.
The
next
Bucks
match,
of Youth!
The next match was probably the best match on this card. Zack Sabre Jr. and Katsuyori Shibata. Shibata fucking is the best wrestler in the world right now to me. He had a banger match with Zack Sabre Jr. And the ending was crazy. And it breaks my heart to say this.
That's what you told me.
It breaks my heart to say this. Zack Sabre Jr. defeated Katsuyori Shibata for the Rev Pro title. And he joined Suzuki Gunn. He turned.
So you just had a shit weekend in wrestling, huh?
Well, I'm happy that he didn't stay with the WWE and he went to New Japan, and he's going to be a major player in Suzuki Gunn. He got a shirt. I mean, have you seen this Minoru Suzuki guy?
Yeah.
Him and Shibata, they're going to have this big clash here in the next couple of months, and it's going to be fucking awesome. After that, Tenzan and Kojima defeated Tomohiro Ishii and Tori Yano to win the IWGP Tag Team Champion. Ishii was throwing some stiff shit in that match, man.
When is he not?
Ishii is just fucking badass. I'm sorry I'm giving you spoilers.
I don't care. That's not going to prevent me from watching something.
Yeah. Then after that, the best stable in New Japan, next to Suzuki Gunn, Los Ingobernables de Japón. Bushi, Evil, Sonata, and Tatsuya Naito defeated Hiroshi Tanahashi, Juice Robinson, Kushida, my boy, and Michael Elgin. Juice Robinson, since he has debuted in New Japan, is killing it over there. You know, he was in NXT for a while, and he was not being used the way he should have been used, and New Japan is doing it, and he's putting on some great matches.
Yeah.
And Los Ingobernables, I'll never get tired of seeing Tatsuya Naito enter an arena. You know, I think he is the current IWGP Intercontinental Champion. So he came up the mat out there, he held the title up, and then just threw it behind him and came to the ring. It was just awesome. Kushida, he's another, if like, right now, my favorite wrestler in the world right now is Katsuyori Shibata. Right behind him, like a 1B, is Kushida. I love watching Kushida wrestle because He's so smooth. He moves. He's always on the attack. It seems like he's always ready for anything you can throw at him, and he's just a great wrestler.
Yeah.
After that, we had Takahashi defeated Ryusuke Taguchi to retain the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion, the Ticking Time Bomb. And have you seen Taguchi yet?
The name's familiar. I can't picture him, but I'm
this
sure I have.
This dude is hilarious. He always seems like he's trying to play mind games and be funny at the same time. Like at Honor Rising, he tagged with Dalton Castle. So he did Dalton Castle's entrance in the ring.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he's so funny, but Takahashi, the Tinking Time Bomb, is really fun to watch as well. And I think he's a part of Los Ingobernables de Japón.
You're just like saying that.
Yes. Now that I can say it correctly. So, and then the main event was your boy,
Okada.
Kazuchika Okada defeated Tiger Mask W. So they had like, I think on over there, Tiger Mask is an anime character.
Mm-hmm.
And I think on the show they had a match between Tiger Mask W and a cartoon version of Okada. So they did this match at the 45th anniversary show. And it was very entertaining. A lot of fun. I don't want to break them down, you know.
Right, right.
I want you to go out there. I want you to subscribe to New Japan World. I want you to watch these shows because if you get going from a shit show like Fastlane to something like this, these matches were put together very well. They were agented properly. Everything flew well. There wasn't filler. I mean, everything was fun. And that's why as a pro wrestling fan, I love New Japan Pro Wrestling because it's pro wrestling. It's not an entertainment show with wrestling on it.
All of the story is told in the ring.
Exactly. And they do the press conferences after each match, and that's what you also get on Access TV and stuff like that. So, you know, New Japan is starting to spread, I think, with Access TV. More and more people are subscribing to New Japan World. I highly recommend you go out there and you check it out.
Hey, two quick things I want to say real quick.
Sure.
One from Raw, one from SmackDown.
Go ahead.
SmackDown, AJ Styles and Randy Orton match.
It was a good match.
It was great.
It's a good match.
I really enjoyed that match.
Yeah.
Something else from SmackDown, though, the whole women's segment, to me it seemed like it...
One or two times there,
it seemed like they all forgot what they were going to say or what they were talking about. Because, you know, everybody kind of put the mic down and they were kind of going back and forth at each other, but it just seemed like, what are we supposed to do now?
At WrestleMania, Alexa Bliss now is going to have to defend her title.
Against every woman on the SmackDown roster.
So who all is that? I mean, we had who was in the ring. So we got Mickie James and Natalya and
Becky Lynch.
If Naomi comes back, I'm sure, she'll be
involved. Yeah, she would be in it. You know, apparently, you know, Nikki Bella is probably not going to be involved.
Well, right. She's already got a match.
Carmella should be in there. This could be the match where they just bring back random people to,
You know, it'd be great if they came out the week before WrestleMania and they said, not only are you going to be facing all these women at the same time, it's going to be a ladder match.
Yeah, it'd be amazing.
Oh, that would be fucking badass.
Yeah.
And they said there's a stipulation. I think they said they may add a stipulation to it. Or Daniel Bryan said in his promo. So when he was seeing that, I was like, man, say it's going to be a ladder match. That would be awesome to finally get a women's ladder match like that.
But then my little note from Raw, which you probably don't want to hear about.
Go ahead.
But,
no, I want you can discuss it.
But then again, it may kind of make you happy because it didn't seem right during the whole Goldberg coming out. Talking about the title win, Heyman comes out with Brock Lesnar. Heyman's, going off constantly. And then he basically ends up saying, the whole, you will be conquered, you'll be this, and then you will be Brock Lesnar's bitch. And Goldberg slowly turns and looks at him, and that's when Lesnar attacks him. The problem I had with this is the whole time Goldberg was still holding the title.
Yeah.
So Brock Lesnar puts him up on his shoulders for the F5, and he's just got the title hanging there. It's one of those dumb things where it's, normally if you have something in your hand, you're going to hit the person with it. But he just kind of let it dangle for a second and then took the F5.
Yeah, see?
And that bothered me.
Yeah, anything else you want to talk about from Raw before we get Shaggy in here for some trivia? Anything else wrestling-wise?
Stephanie looked really good.
Okay, cool. Like I said, I after that pay-per-view, I put it on Twitter. I think I said it on this show. I am not watching Raw until after WrestleMania.
All right.
So I held to, I held to my guns. You know, there's a couple of times I was holding the remotes like, watch something else, go play a card game, go do something, stay strong. And then, I never said anything about SmackDown, and I never said anything about NXT. So.
And SmackDown was good.
Yeah. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll do Superstar of the Week and get out of here. Welcome back to the Oversell Podcast. And as we like to end every episode, we like to do Superstar of the Week. So, Mike, I ask you, who's your Superstar of the Week? I'm just so fucking ready to be done. I'm pissed off. Let's just do Superstar of the Week so we can get out of here.
We'll say the Hardys. Good. For winning ROH tag titles.
I really can't think of anyone in the WWE that deserves it. But you know what? Fuck it. I'll go with Zack Sabre Jr. for having that. Incredible match at New Japan, the 45th anniversary show. Folks, I'm going to let you know what happened. We just lost about over an hour's worth of content for our trivia segment. And we're going to go ahead and get out of here. Thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. Thank you to SharkDropper.com for letting us be on the Shark Dropper Network. Go check out SharkDropper.com and check out all the podcasts there. Paralyzed, Doppel Avenue Hurt, Shark Dropper, Word of the Bay, Top 5. All of them are great podcasts, and they are available to you at SharkDropper.com. Also, head over to OverSellPodcast.com and check out the Amazon link right underneath the main player. And check us out on iTunes. While you're there, leave us a 5-star review and leave a review. Leave some comments, and we will read them on the air. You've been listening to the Oversell Podcast.